Please rise. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. This morning's text is again from the book of Jude, chapter 1, and includes verses 8 to 10. Yet in like manner, these people also, relying on their dreams, defile the flesh, reject authority, and blaspheme the glorious ones. But when the archangel Michael, contending with the devil, was disputing about the body of Moses, he did not presume to pronounce a blasphemous judgment, but said, "The Lord rebuke you." But these people blaspheme all that they do not understand, and they are destroyed by all that they, like unreasoning animals, understand instinctively. So far, the Holy Word. Have you had any good dreams lately, dear friends in Christ? Some people get a lot of amusement out of what their subconscious mind splashes across the screen of their brains while they're sleeping. Some dreams we have are scary, some are silly, and some are bizarre. Apart from a few laughs, though, I don't think dreams occupy very much of our time day to day. They certainly don't dictate our choices or our decisions for the day, or they shouldn't. Some people, though, do put a lot of trust in what they dream. For example, a few years ago, I read an article about a lady who, though she'd never flown before, decided to book a seat on a flight from the East Coast to visit her daughter on the West Coast. And as the day of her departure grew nearer, she grew more nervous about flying. On the night before she was to fly out, she prayed that the Lord would give her direction as to what to do. Still, when she went to bed, she wasn't sure if she would actually get on the plane. And that night she had a dream, and she dreamt that she saw a large jet flying through the sky. It had some characters printed on the side, but in her dream she couldn't read them. She looked at her alarm clock. She saw the time was 7:47. She ran to the kitchen to find out what kind of plane she was booked on. Sure enough, it was a jumbo plane, a Boeing 747. And convinced that the Lord was telling her, through her dream, that everything would be all right for her, she called to talk to her daughter and explain how the Lord showed her that she should get on that plane. She promised she'd see her daughter later that day. She hung up the phone, grabbed her bag, and headed for the airport. That plane crashed. Now, there are some who argue that it still could have been the Lord who made sure that that lady got on the plane, because the Lord intended to call her to her home in heaven. But she was certain that the Lord was telling her she would arrive safely at her destination. Today, Jude explains how we go about contending for the faith that was once delivered to all the saints. He has something to say about dreams and those who dream them, and those who claim to get guidance from their dreams. Part 3 of contending for the faith is to watch out for those dreamers. Quickly, we'll review what we've covered so far in our meditations on Jude. The first aspect, Jude said, of contending for the faith is to keep our eye on grace, to watch out for ourselves as well as for others, for people who would pervert God's forgiving and redeeming love into a license to sin. Second, while we're keeping an eye on grace, we should also remember God's righteous judgment. There's a trap we can fall into of thinking that God's love will keep God from punishing those who sin, who pervert his grace. And the Old Testament had a bunch of examples for us from last week's text. The children of Israel perishing in the wilderness for their lack of obedience. Satan and the evil angels who rebelled against God. And the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, who chose the path of wickedness. And the third aspect, the one that we focus on this morning, is to watch out for the dreamers. What Jude is talking about when he writes that these people rely on their dreams is people who claim to have some kind of extra biblical revelation for God's thoughts on their decisions and actions. Again, we talked about the Gnostics before, and that kind of describes them too. The Gnostics, you might remember, are people who claim to have knowledge about God that is beyond Scripture. Scripture's fine, Jesus is fine, but we know something secret and higher that you should also know. And you have to join our club if you want to get the knowledge. Sometimes their extra knowledge comes in the form of another sacred text that supposedly was given to them personally. Sometimes their extra knowledge literally comes from dreams. But the common factor in both is that they claim that God is the one who's telling them exactly what to do and say and believe or to act in a certain way. When the reality is, their new teachings come from their own imagination. You hear these kind of claims all the time. Many preachers claim, God told me in a dream to start a new ministry. I have a friend who is also in the ministry who a few years ago was attending his grandfather's funeral. It happened to be at a ELCA church. So this CLC pastor had the opportunity to talk to his now deceased grandfather's pastor, who happened to be a woman. Pastor Mindy, as they called her, was eager to talk to this CLC pastor and defend her decision to enter the ministry. Well, she gave him all kinds of silly excuses as to why she became a pastor. And after my friend told her from Scripture that those were not good reasons, she gave her last defense. This woman stood up for her ability and her call to be a pastor by saying that she had a dream in which the Lord told her to be faithful. And in her mind, that was the ultimate defense. How could he possibly argue with something God had told her? It wasn't a difficult argument to defeat, though. God does require us to be faithful. He requires us to be faithful to his word. There are lots of other people that claim special visits and words and directions from God. You can think of the many TV evangelists who pollute the airwaves, all claiming that God has promised to bless those who send in a certain amount of money. Again, there's the Mormons and the Jehovah's Witnesses and many other sects that claim ongoing divine revelation. God is always revealing to us something new. It's not very difficult for watchful Christians to spot those kind of dreamers. Those who claim to know God's will on matters where God hasn't spoken. Let me explain a little further what I'm talking about and what I'm not talking about. First of all, what I'm not talking about and what Jude isn't writing about are godly influences that we really have in our lives. Those are real and true, and we have them. For example, in choosing a Christian husband or wife, a spouse, God has given young people all kinds of influences that help in making that choice. Christian parents and Christian friends. A conscience that is bound to his word. The advice of a pastor. God may also frustrate a relationship in its early stages so it becomes clear to you, or a Christian person, that a specific person is not the spouse he intends for us. And we could say the same things about deciding where to work or where to live, what property we may or may not buy, when to seek medical help. God may be guiding us, and we may sense his directing us in those things. But there are times when our sinful imagination wants to insert itself, clamoring to be heard, to the point that godly influences are shut out or squelched. If you've ever looked for a sign from the Lord before making a major or even a minor purchase, If you've ever defended an action you made by saying, well, God told me to do it. If you've ever attributed a life decision to an overwhelming feeling inside of you that God wanted you to make that decision, then you are treading into the realm of a dreamer. Because God's will for us is written out clearly for us in His Word, the Bible. Well, Pastor Nauman, the Bible doesn't tell us everything, and you're right. True, the Bible doesn't tell us what to eat for dinner or what clothes to wear tomorrow or what to charge someone who's buying a car from us. At least it doesn't give us specifics on those things, but God does guide us in those things from His Word, just not through our dreams and our imaginations. I spent a lot of time explaining this morning what Jude means when he talks about those who rely on their dreams. But we should also listen to the why. Why should we watch out for them? He says, dreamers defile the flesh, reject authority, and blaspheme the glorious one. They destroy themselves by all that they, like unreasoning animals, understand instinctively. I mentioned before that dreams are a common topic of conversation. We like to talk about our dreams. Of course, we don't talk about all of them. Why not? Well, because many of them reveal the true source of those dreams, the corrupt mind, the base desires of the flesh. Have you ever had a dream so horrible or evil that you feel dirty when you remember it in your waking hours? I have, and I suspect some of you have too. All things that people use to defend their choices and decisions and credit it to God, when He in fact has not said or commanded us to do those things. All those things come from the same place. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, casting itself onto the screen of our minds. And in many cases, mundane things, so that we feel like we can defend our materialism, our selfishness, our arrogance, our lack of God-given respect for authority, our hatred. Those are things that cause us to be separated from God. Those are the things that line the path to eternal destruction. Your subconscious isn't clean and holy. It's not always going to come out with the right thing. You see, there's not so much difference between those who defend things like homosexuality, prostitution, or greed, or any other kind of moral ills. Not much difference between those who defend those things and those who, in the name of God and Christ, claim divine guidance in other matters. It's just a matter of where your imagination is focused. If we walk down that slippery slope in some things, we could start to do so in others. God forbid. God forbid that anything other than His clear and written word be the source for His will in our lives. Only then can we have certainty for this life and the life which is to come. And that's really what's at stake, the certainty of everlasting life through the blood and death of Christ our Savior. We're certain of eternal life right now, not because of some dream or some vision or some sign or some inner feeling. We're certain of it because of the clear and enduring Word of God, which says there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That's you and me. Dreams and visions and signs and feelings, those things can lead us away from Christ and away from God. And they do when they're the product of the sinful flesh. God's Word shows us Christ and Christ's redemption. And the fruits of that redemption that we should bring forth in our lives. And when we apply that Word of God to our hearts and to our lives and follow its directions in the choices and decisions that we make in this life and in our actions, well, then we're certain that those choices and actions are God-pleasing. And we can be certain, for the sake of his Son, then, that our feet are firmly planted instead on the path that leads to eternal glory with him in heaven. Amen. The same peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.